All right, we want to welcome everybody that's watching online this morning to our Bible study here at Waldo Baptist Church. Good to be in the Lord's house with you today. I need all the help I can get, brother. Actually, I have to go to a funeral when I leave here. We have a cousin that passed away in Bardwell, Kentucky, and have to go down there this afternoon for her funeral. And she didn't know the Lord, so she's better off than we are. And I praise the Lord for Ann and her salvation and for her family. And I know that the family will be comforted in the Word of God because of her salvation and because of the reality of where she is today. And so looking forward to seeing some of my family I haven't seen for a good while down there in Bardwell. And that's where all of Kay's family's from. So we'll be going down there this afternoon and then be back here to see Hazy and my grandkids tonight, great-grandkids, and to see the children's program this evening. And hope Hazel doesn't show out. And so we... Oh, it's good to be in the Lord's house with you. Good to be in the Lord's house with you. Turn to the book of 1 Peter, if you will. We are finally past verse 2, and I know a lot of you have rejoiced in that. And so I'm actually going to go over verse 10 and 12 with you again, as we were on that last Sunday, and I didn't finish it up. But I want to share some things with you, and I want to go back and look at another scripture in Isaiah as well. As we have, well, let's pray together before we start, okay? Father, we come before you today. You know us, we're your children. We thank you for so great a salvation, full, free, and forever, by the grace of an almighty God. Father, as we come before you today, we stand humbly before your presence because we realize that you have given us a gift of salvation that we could not earn, that we did not deserve, that we alone cannot keep. But we realize by your power and by your grace and by your mercies, it's kept in heaven until the day that we are glorified and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you for Christ being the atoning sacrifice for our sins, saving our wretched souls, making us a child of God. And Father, help us to, we pray that the Holy Spirit might illuminate in our minds and hearts the Word of God, that we might hide it in our hearts, that we might not sin against you. And Father, you might be glorified as the Spirit teaches us today, as we become more like Christ and less like ourselves. Be with our sick and hurting that cannot be here today. Be with Brother Nate in his sickness this morning. We pray that the rest of his family might not catch what he's got. We thank you for Caleb and his ability and willing to speak and to preach. We thank you for our whole staff. Be with Brother David as he's in Florida today. Brother Aaron has laryngitis. And so we are thank you for those that are here under the hearing of my voice and those that are watching online. We ask your blessing on them. And we pray that the word might build us, grow us, and strengthen us into the person you saved us to be by your grace and by your mercy. We ask it all in the name that is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through his shed blood we pray. Amen. What I want to do this morning, what do you do when you go through trials? What do you do when life is very difficult? What do you do when you face things that you've never faced before and you're unsure about how you'll get through it? Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's financial hurt. Maybe it's physical pain, maybe it's a number of many myriad of things that you go through in life. Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble. We know that. We live in an imperfect and a broken world. So as we do that, how do we endure? How do we go on? How do we cope? How do we continue to follow Christ? Not only follow Christ, but follow Christ with a joyful attitude and an understanding of the reality of a risen Savior and the heart that He has changed and the life He's given us in Himself and the Spirit of God that leads us, teaches us, guides us, and encourages us on a daily basis. Well, you look at and you focus on salvation. And that's what he's talking about in verse 10 through 12. And I'll read that to you once again. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 through 12. Concerning this salvation, he says, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that they have now been told by those who have preached the gospel to you, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. So what Peter does, he goes back and he says, I want you to look at your salvation. I want you to look at your salvation from the point of the prophets and all those that spoke in the Old Testament and even the angels. I want you to look at your salvation from their point of view. And so we did that last Sunday morning in Sunday school, our Bible study here. We went back and we said, look at it from the point of the prophets. They wrote about it. They prophesied about it. Yet they did not know what you now know because you have experienced it in your life. They waited for it. You've experienced it. They were never filled with the Spirit, indwelt with the Spirit as you have been. They only knew about it, wrote about it, but yet had not yet experienced it until the day of Pentecost came. So they were writing about a salvation that God revealed to them that was so awesome, that was so wonderful, that they wanted to understand it more, yet they wrote about it, and you are the beneficiary of what they wrote. Because as God gave them word and they prophesied and they wrote, it was for your sakes and it was for my sakes that God had them write these things down. Now I'm saying all of this to say this. As I taught through the doctrine of election, which is very important, because that's why you cannot lose your salvation, is kept in heaven for you by the power of God. And so that's a very important thing to know. But what I want to make sure of as you studied through that, because if that's one side of the coin and that's all you see, it can hinder what God has saved you and called you to be and to do. And so I want to go back, and I'm going to turn back to that. You remember that scripture we looked at when we began all this in the book of Isaiah chapter 55, where it said, your ways are not my ways and your thoughts are not my thoughts. Well, I want to go back to the scripture right before that. I'm going to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. And I'm going to read you the scripture that we started out with in verse 8 of the 55th chapter of Isaiah. Okay, I'm going to start there and then I'm going to go back and read the scripture before that. God says through Isaiah, speaking of himself, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Okay, so what does God say? God says I'm an omnipotent God. I know everything past, present, and future. I am all powerful. I am an infinite God. You're a finite human being, so you will never understand everything about my power, my glory, and even my salvation. Now then, so we realize that, right? We are not God. So what we do understand is what He has revealed to us in the Scripture. The Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is an invitation. It is an almighty God that so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. What did Jesus say was the reason that He came to earth? What did Jesus say was the reason that He came to earth? He said, I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, when you look at the Scriptures, beginning in the 6th verse of the 55th chapter of Isaiah, before He makes the statement we read in verse 8, He says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and He will have mercy on him and to our God, for He will freely pardon. I want you to understand this, very much so. I want you to understand that the greatest knowledge in all the universe today is not to put a man on Mars. It's not how to get to Mars or the moon and back. It's not how to discover some great discovery that hasn't been discovered. But the greatest miracle and the greatest knowledge today is to know Christ and the salvation that comes through Him. When you think about your life, when I think about my life, what is the most important thing in my life? What is it that carries me when I get up in the morning till I go to bed at night and wonder if I don't wake up the next morning, will I be okay? It is the reality and the knowledge of a salvation that came through the Lord Jesus Christ, that was the atoning sacrifice for my sins, that died in my place, that gave His life for mine, that He took all my sins upon Himself and died for me, that one day the Spirit of God might call me out of darkness into light, I might become a child of God, the Holy Spirit would indwell me, and every day when I get up with a realization that I am saved by the grace of God, kept by the power of God, and one day I will be delivered by the plan of God into heaven itself, where I shall spend the ages of the ages of the ages, worshiping and rejoicing Him because of His grace and His mercy that would save a wretch like me. That is the reality. That's what He wants us to focus on. Concerning this salvation, He says. Concerning this salvation. You see, the thing that I'm interested in, that I want you to grasp out of all the teaching that we've gone through here in 1 Peter, is this. That our mission and our message has never changed. Our mission and our message has never changed. Our mission is to share the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. That is our mission in this world. That's what God saved us for. Now, the second thing is our message. Our message is simply the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The plan of God that through His Son, the Bible tells us, whosoever will may come. The Bible tells us, you see, this is the thing. You remember the parable in the New Testament where the sower went out to sow the seed? Some fell on rocky soil, some fell on thin soil. Some fell on soil where the weeds came up and choked it out. And some on good soil. And the seed that fell on good soil produced a crop and a harvest that became even greater. Listen, God has not called us to be soil judgers. Are you with me? He's not called us to be soil judgers. He's called us to sow seed. We have to remember that the reason for our salvation is the message and the mission. And the mission is to sow the seed. And the message is the seed, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we go through this life, if we have children, we tell them about Christ. We tell them about the sacrifice that he made for our sins. We tell them concerning this salvation that it's the most important thing and the greatest thing that anybody could ever know about on the face of the earth. They not only hear it from us, they see it in us, and we share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is concerning this salvation. This is the theme of our life after we've been saved. This is the most important knowledge that anyone can have on the face of the earth concerning this salvation. The prophets wrote about it. The angels looked into it concerning this salvation. They could not even understand. The angels must have looked over the realms of heaven when Christ went to the cross and said, "How on earth, Father, could you allow your Son to go through this so that those human beings on earth could be saved?" And there's only one answer for that, and that is the love of God, the grace of God, and the mercies of God that put Christ on a cross for our salvation. Concerning this salvation, he says, to which even the prophets wrote about, even when they didn't understand it. The angels look at it and they cannot grasp it. They say, "How in the world could this ever happen?" And yet God has sent his Son into the world to seek and to save that which is lost concerning this salvation. So I wanted to make sure not only you had this side of the coin, but you had the other side as well, because the other side is what we're here for. God does what only God can do, but God has called us to do what he planned for us to do. You see, as you look at this, and I read in the scriptures here, and I'm going to go back, and I'm going to read in verse 12 of the first chapter of 1 Peter. "It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that they have now been told, the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel." Let me ask you something. Why on earth do you think God is still calling men and women out to share the gospel? Because it's not his will that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. Don't you understand? You have to be able to grasp that. Listen, I was talking to someone the other day. I think it was my my grandson-in-law that's married to Summer. And we sometimes, Billy and I, we sit around, we have conversations. And I told him, I said, "Billy, there's two things I know I'm absolutely sure of in my life." Now, there may be more than that. I know the drawer my socks are in, and I know where my clothes hang. I just a couple other things I know. But there's two things that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt in my life. No question whatsoever. Number one, that I've been saved by the grace of God. Number one, that I've been saved by the grace of God. Number two, that same God that saved me called to preach the gospel and the good news and the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said there's two things in this world that I do not doubt, that I'm absolutely sure about. And that is, number one, I've been saved by the grace of God. Number two, that God Almighty, the same God that saved me, called to preach the good news and the word of God to those who are not saved, and to build up and edify the church that is saved, that they might go out and share the good news as well, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and save that which is lost. Amen? All right. I think you got it. Maybe. Now then, let's go on and read from there. Verse 13. Prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Verse 15. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Now, he's not just talking about your thinking, your intellect. What he's talking about is all of your faculties. All of your faculties. Your senses, your mind, your heart, your inner being, your thoughts. Prepare yourself for action. Now then, in the time that this was written, in another translation says, gird up your minds. Gird up your minds. Here it says, in my translation, NIV says, prepare your minds. Gird up your minds. Well, why would it say that? Well, in the New Testament times, they didn't wear clothes like this. If you're wondering why I'm dressed like this, because I'm going to a funeral. Thank you. But they wore loose-fitting clothes, like robes, like tunics. And it would have been like a woman would wear a dress today. It would be covering the body, but it would be loose. So what did they do? If they were going to work, if they were going to fight, if they were going to run, if they were going to do anything where they had to extend themselves, they would use a sash, and they would tie that sash around everything on their clothing that was loose. If they had on a headpiece, they would tie a sash around their head. They would tie a sash around their waist. They would tie a sash around everything. That's what it means to gird up. Gird up your mind. Gird up your faculties. Why? Because God has saved you not to sit and soak, but God has saved you for action. God has put His Spirit in you. God has put His Spirit in me for action. Not to just sit and mull over what God has done, but to take what God has done and put it into action in my own lives. And so when I think about that, I think about what God wants me to do. What did He tell Joshua? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. In the very first chapter of the book of Joshua, and the very last chapter of the book of Joshua, He tells them exactly the same thing. And he tells them to tell his next in line the very same thing. You must be strong and courageous. So as a Christian, God wants me to be ready. He wants me. Now, why do we teach all this scripture? What's the purpose? So that when someone asks you a question about why you believe what you believe, you can tell them. You can tell them. Why is that so important? Because people, we live in a broken, dying world today. People are suffering. People are looking. People are looking for answers. You have the answer. The only answer for what's wrong with anyone today is Christ. I mean, we get sick, we need our bodies healed. This body ain't what it used to be and never will be. Okay? This body is not me, and it's not what is important. It's who I am through Christ inwardly that is so important. And it is that which grows stronger day by day by day as the tent grows weaker day by day by day. And if you're not old enough yet, like Noah, he's got a brand new tent. Look good in your tent, brother. Amen. Proud of you. But I want you to know, I hate to tell you this, one day you're going to look like me. But that's okay. That's okay. The tent finally gets to where it cannot be repaired. That's okay. Because when I get rid of the tent, bless God Almighty in heaven, I'm going to have a temple. When I get rid of the tent, bless God Almighty in heaven, I'm going to be glorified. When I get rid of the tent, bless God Almighty in heaven, when I see Christ, I shall be like Him. That's why when you go through trials, when you go through tribulation, when you go through difficult times in your life, you don't focus on the trials. You don't focus on the tribulation. You focus on the salvation. You focus on that which cannot be taken away from you. You focus on the greatest thing that ever happened in your life. You focus on the eternal salvation that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is how you endure, and that is how you go on, and that is how you win in Christ. So what he's saying here, get ready. You got saved. Now get ready to serve. Gird up your minds for action. Gird up your minds, your faculties, because I didn't save you to sit. I saved you to serve. And that's every one of us. Even me. It doesn't matter how old or how young we are. If we're in Christ, God saved us to serve. What's our mission? Our mission is sow seed. What's our message? This great salvation, concerning this salvation, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, what else he says? Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. What did I just tell you? When you're going through a trial, when you're going through trouble, when you're going through tribulation, when you're going through heartache, what does Satan want us to do? He wants us to focus on our trouble, our tribulation, our heartache, our sickness, whatever it may be. He wants us to focus. Why does he want us to focus on that? So he can defeat you. What does the scripture say? Set your hope. Remember when Nate was teaching on Wednesday night, if you were here? Our hope is not, I wish it would turn out like this. Our hope is, I know it will turn out like this because of who God is and what God has promised. My hope is alive through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I set my hope. I want you to get this. I don't set my hope on what I see in the mirror. I set my hope on what I'll look like one day with Christ. Kay gets on me all the time. You spend so long in the bathroom. I said, do you know what I've got to work with? It takes time. Didn't used to. Jump out of bed, get on your clothes, wash your face, brush your hair back, gone. Now you got to snip and cut and comb and fix and pat and place and mat and all this stuff you got to do now. Try to fix a tent up where you won't scare somebody when you go outside with a tent, okay? My hope's not set on what I see in the mirror. If it was, I'd be in trouble. My hope is set on who I am in Christ and what I shall be when I see Him. When the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed. That's where I set my hope. So I gird up my mind for action. I gird up my mind for action. And as I gird up my mind for action, I go out into this dark, dying world with all the hope in the world because I know what I shall be in Christ when He is revealed. And the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Kept in heaven by His power for you and me. Amen? So set your hope on the day Christ is revealed, and you shall be like Him. Amen? So we gird up our minds, we set our hope. That's a hope that cannot be defeated. A hope that can never perish because it's kept by the power of God in heaven for you. We just studied that in 1 Peter, right? Okay. I think the first bell rang. Did? So what does he want us to do? Verse 14. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. You see, this world wants to put pressure on us. And it does, doesn't it? All the pressures, all the anxiety, all the unknowns, all the things that put pressure on us. It wants to conform us into itself. He says, you cannot let that happen. You cannot let that happen. You're not being, he said, I didn't save you to be conformed to this world. I saved you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I saved you for. Not to be conformed, but to be transformed. And I've got the power to transform you. If you'll get your mind off the world, and you'll put your, concerning this salvation, you'll focus on this salvation and set your hope because you've girded your mind on the living hope that you have in the heaven when Jesus Christ is revealed. He said, I'll not only get you through it, I'll give you victory over it. I'll not only get you through it, I'll give you victory over it. And so we go through life The world is trying to conform us into itself, but we will not be conformed. We shall be transformed by the renewing of our mind in the Lord Jesus Christ through the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, realizing that one day we will defeat. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. And so have we. Folks, I'm not working for a victory. I'm working from a victory. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. It is an unbelievable, awesome treasure that you've given us. Not only Christ, not only the Holy Spirit, but the Word of God. Not only to make one wise unto salvation, but to make one wise unto God, unto who He is, unto how merciful and gracious He is, unto so great a salvation, concerning this salvation that saved our wretched souls and made us a child of God. May we forever be on mission to carry the message of the gospel to whosoever will may come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.